Get to the bottom of what's truly healthy in this crazy, complex world. So you can take back what is rightfully yours. Welcome to the Health Sovereign Podcast. This is your host, Logan Christopher.
Welcome back to the Health Sovereign Podcast. I know it's been quite some time since I recorded an episode, but after talking to the guy who I'll be introducing to you shortly, I really thought this was something that I needed to share because this needs to be on your radar. So my guest today is Marcus Ellis. He's a terminal cancer conqueror after the failure of oncology. Given a 6-month death sentence, he then pursued naturopathic means and is now 6 years cancer-free as of this week. He now provides financial resources to the terminal, critically and chronically ill via viatical settlements, which we'll be talking about. So the first half of this episode, we'll be diving into his cancer story, and the second half really talking about this. And the reason I wanted to do this episode after a long hiatus is because, as I said, this is so important to understand that part of the reason our health system is as it is because of how it's structured and different interlocking parts. A big part of that is health insurance. That health insurance can only pay for the standard cancer treatments as well as any sort of other diseases, or doesn't even pay for certain things that are not acknowledged. Actually had a recent circumstance where that is the case, even with my somewhat alternative health insurance that I'm using. But with this roundabout workabout way, you can get funds for that kind of treatment, whatever kind of treatment you want. So this may not be necessary to you now. This may not be even helpful 10 years from now, but who knows, 20 years from now, or not for yourself, but for someone you know. Having knowledge about viatical settlements can be really important, indeed, actually life-changing. So I wanted to do this episode to share this with everyone listening. And please feel free to spread this episode around, let other people know about this, because this is really important. And on that note, we'll be talking about this, but if you're young right now, you know, you can get life insurance for all the benefits that brings, but keeping in the back of your mind that it could be used in this way down the line as well. So let's get started with the interview. Welcome, Marcus. Thanks for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me, Logan. I appreciate it.
Yeah, really excited to dive into, well, I guess, this horrible story, but with a good ending, right?
Amen. I'm telling you.
So walk us through when, or I guess a little bit of your, how was life going when you got the diagnosis for cancer?
Well, very interesting question. The very moment that I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer here at Vanderbilt, that very month, my name hangs on a wall plaque at the corporate headquarters in Cleveland as the number one selling man in America. I was selling, don't die laughing, man. I was selling cancer policies.
Yeah. What is involved specifically with the cancer policy?
Well, the types of policy that the company I was working for were doing were called treatment-based. So every time you took a treatment of whatever the standard treatments are, what they call conventional, which is, I got to go into that at some point, yeah, and explain to you, but the word conventional is misleading, but that's what they call it. And literally every time you take a treatment, they're going to give you some funds. Mm-hmm. So every time, you know, I was hooked on morphine, the pain was so bad. I lost 50 pounds in 6 weeks and I was just a shell of myself. And my family said, you're not dying on our watch. So they took me in. We're not really hospital people. Mm-hmm. And we're not medico people. I mean, I've had to run my family's companies for 40 years. I never took days off. I mean, we just didn't. And so I went, they took me in. They actually, the neighbors drove me in and they rolled me into the hospital. And they diagnosed me with stage 4 cancer. And that they said, you need to immediately get into the chemo, radiation and all this stuff. And, you know, I didn't, and at the time, know what my choices were. Mm-hmm. Because they don't give you choices. They tell you, this is what you're going to do or not. And so I went in and they put in that chest port. They surgically input a chest port into you. And then they start taking you into the chemo world. And the chemo is absolutely horrific. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. You know, when people talk about their side effects, Logan, there's nothing to do with the word side effects. It's direct effects. I was a gymnast, a former gymnast, a cheerleader, marching band guy, you know, and I owned a catering company. And if you don't think that's a 24/7, really hard physical manual labor kind of business, you got another thing coming. So I had 125 employees and I was really busy and I was physically great, just working very hard. that chemo they put into me started destroying my body. The chemo, they say, goes for all the fast, they target the fast growing cells. Mm-hmm. Well, that just means your hair. And so they destroyed all of the hair. Actually, my beard today is a rebellion against the medical society because they took all my hair. They destroyed my body. I have head to toe collateral damage is what I call it, not side effects. And literally they went in and they gave me, they took my immune system. The one thing that you have to have, brother, to avoid cancer is you've got to have a strong, intact immune system.
Yep.
I mean, it's almost nefarious that they go in and they, you know, try to destroy your immune system. And then, of course, they took my hair. They gave me chemo brain, which I don't know if you know about, but basically yep. It's just foggy. You don't know where you left your keys or who you are or who you had lunch with yesterday. Or you forget things that are just really important. But they also gave me bone loss and gum loss in my teeth. So I had to have dental surgery. They gave me pulmonary embolisms, which are blood clots on the lungs. Mm-hmm. And they gave me three of them. And that was another incredible story. They gave me a heart attack. And they put me in the cardiac unit one night for $17,000. And then they also gave me arthritis in my hip, neuropathy in my feet, and the list goes on. And mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell your listeners anymore, but this is just amazing. And so I suffered with that for a year. And I would go in and you know, I was sitting in these rooms with beautiful leather chairs with all these people, and they were inputting the stuff into your chest. And even today, I had a reminder of this chest port. It was just itching weirdly. And it's kind of like, okay, what's that? They put you in these rooms with all these people that are, you know, beautiful view and the leather chairs and everybody is, they're putting this stuff into you that you don't have any idea what it is, but they're wearing hazmat clothes, Logan. Mm-hmm. If you don't know who these people are, you can't recognize them because except if you knew their voice or something, but they're completely covered head to toe. And if they drop any of this, it's hazmat. If they have anything on them, it's hazmat. Why are they putting this into me? I mean, the conscious brain says, this is healthcare?
Right.
Okay. And then I started, you know, having all these terrible, you know, collateral damages. And I'm watching everybody turn gray and green and yellow and lose all their hair. And the one thing I found about it was so shocking was that they're making so much money on every victim. And I discovered after doing some tremendous research in the last 6 years, they literally make $3,500 per client every time they prescribe chemo. Right. And you know, if there's 60 people in the room, I don't know if you're a fast math whiz, but 60 times 3,500 is $210,000.
Yeah.
And that was Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're talking, you know, every day they're making so much money on the American public because Americans think that's the only way we can go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it isn't true. And what happened was I went through that whole series of the year's treatments and I thought I was done with those people and I said bye bye. And I got a call on a Friday night. My daughter was on the tower. She's a marching band, the field commander. She was on the tower and the bands and the Klieg lights and the football team and the cheerleaders and hot dog smells and popcorn and all this stuff. It was just phenomenal. I got a call at 7:30 at night and this guy calls me up and he said, we didn't get it all. And I was like, what? He said, we didn't get it all. You need more chemo, more radiation, a stem cell transplant, and maybe even experimental treatments. And don't worry, I've got it all set up for you. And I said, what if I don't do any of that? He said, I'll give you 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at that point, I had been developing. They brought my bed down to the first floor library. I'm a third generation teacher, huge library. They brought my bed down because I couldn't even climb a set of stairs. And so I was on the first floor in the library. If I could get my head off the bed, which was rare, I literally went to try to research, you know, and I have huge sections on naturopathic things, some on Aramaic and Hebrew and churchianity, the origins of all that religious stuff. And literally, I absolutely devoured anything I could. And there were a couple of books by a nutritional biochemist in Florida. And one of his books was, What in the Cell is Going On? And I thought that was clever.
Yep.
And so what I did was I looked at that book and I contacted him. And I found out that all disease is, you know, and particularly all diseases are stemming from inflammation. But the cancer is a side effect of metabolic disease. Okay, so the system is compromised. At a system level, there's cellular malfunction going on. And so the American Medical Association's approach to, you know, tumor cancer is backwards, because all they're doing is going in and cutting and burning and poisoning a tumor. The tumor isn't the problem. And then you've heard these words, remission. Mm-hmm. They've taken Bible words and turned them upside down. Remission is a fancy word for it's coming back, because they never get to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem, as we now know, is cellular malfunction. This is hard for your people, for most people to grasp. Because they think, okay, I got a breast cancer, so they're going to, you know, cut out, or they're going to do something with this breast. It's nothing to do with it. It's going to come back in the next breast. It did nothing to do with the location. The system is compromised. So anyway, I went to the nutritional biochemist in Florida, and he was wonderful. He used state-of-the-art equipment that's 40 years ahead of the AMA. And by the way, the diagnostic tools of the AMA are also cancer exacerbating. They will actually increase your cancer. They use, for instance, in the PET scan, which is a positron emission tomography, they use radioactive glucose. And you probably know the answer to this quiz, but what's the number one feeder of cancer?
Glucose.
Ta-da! So they feed your cancer glucose, and then they irradiate you to see what they fed it.
It all makes causes cancer.
I'm telling you, they're giving you more cancer by diagnosing. Anyway,
there's lots of false positives too. I was just recently talking or diving into a prostate, and anywhere I look, you see a lot of problems. But yeah, false positives is such a huge thing. I want to just ask you this: you got diagnosed with the stage 4. Did you get a second opinion at all, or was it just really straight to?
I didn't know, because I just thought cancer is cancer. No, I went in, and by the way, false positives on the PSA tests are everywhere. They're notoriously undependable. So you're exactly right. And I was going to tell you this. The one thing that you have to really watch out for is the voices that are speaking to you. And I'll just tell you this. If anybody puts fear into you about a diagnosis and they give you a date that you're going to die, they're playing on your fear to get you to move in the direction to take their stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to tell your listeners, anybody that does that to you, you need to not only walk, but run in another direction, because fear should never be a part of your healthcare decisions. Okay. Not. You don't want to have fear. You don't want to say, okay, I'm going to die tomorrow. I've got to do this. No. All this is predicated on good, wise, you know, responses. You ask for wisdom, say to our creator, what in the world are we doing here? How am I going to get out of this? Then tell me where to go. And so that's what I did. Well, the nutritional biochemist said, yeah, you're stage 5. You need to do, he gave me a 35-page report. And then he said, come back, you know, and do this. And I did about 16 things that he said specifically. And I went through that for the next 6 months. I never saw the guy again. And literally, I got a call 6 months later from oncology. And they said, we want to do a follow-up. And the young lady said, what date do you want? And I said, oh, how about March 16th or 17th? She said, fine. And she did not know that that was the precise date of my death that I was given by the oncologist 6 months to the day. I went in, they did their Chem24 profiles, their blood work, their lab assessments and everything. And what do you think they found?
Nothing.
No cancer. But importantly, Logan, no one in oncology asked me what I had done. Mm-hmm. And the fireworks went off in my head because I figured it out. They don't want to know what I did. Mm-hmm. Because they can't use the products because they're not patentable. Mm-hmm. And literally, healthcare has nothing to do with health or care. It's about disease. And actually, I call it allopathic medicine, just symptomology suppression 101. Mm. They just suppress the symptoms and you think you're okay. And they'll call it remission. I mean, that's a biblical term out of 6th chapter of the book of Enoch, one of those suppressed books for thousands of years. But literally, it's interesting. They don't have the answers. So everybody's running around today with this, what I call pink ribbon propaganda mirage. And you see on the back end of the cars and the license plates, the pink ribbon and all that. Mm-hmm. They're really telling you that you have to run for the cure and I have to kayak for the cure and they have to hope for the cure. The fact of the matter is, brother, the cures are already here. for all of our diseases, and they've been in nature for thousands of years. So guess who is actually the alternative medicine?
Yeah.
It's the American Medical Association that's been around for about 125 years. They're the new kids on the block. They have no experience over the centuries. And all they have are their cut, burn, poison drug, very small toolkit.
Yeah.
So they don't really know what they're doing. But what was fascinating was nobody asked me. I went to find my oncologist. He was walking the halls. And I said, you know, I was very humble because I had no idea how that was going to turn out. Mm-hmm. And I said, how do you, and I was crying, man. I said, do you remember what you said 6 months ago? And he said, no. Well, I said, could you imagine me telling my oncologist you told me I would be dead? I said, well, you told me I was going to be dead today. And he said, look me up and down in the most cold way he could possibly. And he said, well, you look all right to me. And I guess we all make mistakes. Mm. And that's all I got out of oncology. And Logan, at that point, I determined that I could not sell another policy to another person because I was sending them into the arms of the AMA, telling who is advertising 24/7 the pink ribbon propaganda nonsense, that they don't have the answers. If people would put this together, they don't have the answers. So you're supposed to help them get the answers? Oh, no, 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 no. They've had Nixon declared the war on cancer in 1971. Mm-hmm. Your math facts really fast. That's 50 years ago. They've had 50 years to find the cures. They're not going to find them. They're no closer today than they were 50 years ago.
And probably further, actually.
Right, because if the cures are over here, they're looking over here. Mm-hmm. So it's the exact opposite. And I will have to say, it's very disgusting to me because people are being shoved into this. 1,600 people a day die from cancer mm-hmm. in America, just America alone. And so, you know, when they say, I guess, you know, we make mistakes, that's not accepting the responsibility, which is, again, the word side effects, not accepting the consequences of what they're directly doing. And it drove me to say, okay, I can't sell anymore, you know, healthcare policies that are cancer, because if I'm shoving them into the arms of the AMA, they're going to already tell you they don't have the answers. Here's, you got to take this, you got to do this, you got to do this. And it's going to survive. You'll give you a year, give you 2 years. But the quality of life, Logan, is horrific that right. these people go through. I get on the phone every day.
I've described it as torture. Like, and yes. I wrote an article recently. I absolutely would not do chemotherapy or radiation. I might do surgery depending on the things. That's very iffy, but that has its place. Whereas I don't really see the other two. I think it's like bloodletting and mercury that the doctors used to give. And well, hopefully someday the paradigm shifts to where we.
You're very smart, man, because that's exactly true. They'll be called in, you know, 50 years from now, it'll be called barbaric. Yeah. What they're doing, what they did to me, what they're doing to all these people is barbaric. There's no reason for this, because what happens is they're going in and destroying the body and you're just thinking, I'm getting the best I can. I'll tell you what, speaking of that, I was at a you know, Gilda's Club. You familiar with Gilda Radner?
No, I'm not.
She's Saturday Night Live, beautiful Jewish girl and performer there. And she actually died from ovarian cancer. So they started this little club called Gilda's Club. It's a support group for cancer people. And they had a woman in there that was speaking. And I went to this event. She was from the same torture chamber that I was in. And Tennessee Oncology was what it's called. And she spoke beautifully, very well-dressed, beautiful lady. And she said, all the drug formularies, and we're doing drug trials. And if you want to get a part of them, you can do this. And the people are going, oh, please, Dr. Johnson, whatever. And I was like, okay. And I stood up and I said, at some point, you know, what happened to me was terrible. You work at Tennessee Oncology. And she said, no, you were at the other, you're not at the same building. She disavowed. They were in another part of the city from the one that I was in, but it was still the same people. Mm-hmm. She disavowed knowledge of it. And then I went up to her afterwards and I said, you know, I know you love your clients, right? She said, yeah. I said, I took her by the hand and I said, give me your hand. And I started stroking her hand like you do as patients as they're lying on the bed. I said, as you're stroking the patient's hands, I wish you would say this. You say this, we're doing the best we can for you. But I said, you know, I wish you'd put the accent on a different word. We're doing the best we can for you. And someone in that room that doesn't have chemo brain may hear that there's something else that's out there, because there certainly is. And that's why I want to help as many people as I can. So I ended up doing a little bit of homework on trying to find out ways to help people to get this, you know, onus off of our back. Mm-hmm. And it turned into something entirely different from what I thought. So it's not healthcare insurance, but it's something different.
Yeah, so. I've looked at the kind of the paradigm and what will it take to really shift that. And a big, I mean, there's lots of stumbling blocks. You know, the power of the AMA. The AMA has kind of gotten down in recent years, and there's other bigger organizations than that. But certainly over the past century and a quarter, they were saying they were a huge, very influential body.
Well, they absolutely were and are. Yeah. And what happened was they destroyed, with their combination of the Flexner Report in the early 1900s, they destroyed over 2,300 naturopathic colleges in America, mm-hmm. in favor of their own company's drug regimes, which is the Carnegies and the Rockefellers. These are the people that own the drug companies. And they destroyed all these other things, and they call them snake oil salesmen and fakes and all on and on and on. Basically, it was just to discredit anything to do that someone in your lifetime, your grandmother, her grandmother, they might have known this works. And they say, oh, that doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. I asked my oncologist multiple questions every time I was in there, not because I was being mean, but because I had questions. I asked stuff like, hey, what should I be eating? Mm-hmm. Do you know the guy's answer?
This doesn't have anything to do with food.
The exact words. He said, nutrition has nothing to do with cancer. Yeah. I'm like, you know, I knew all the answers to the questions like a good attorney. Mm-hmm. I knew the answers to the questions before I asked them. But I would ask them so I could hear what their answers were. And that answer was absolutely foolish nonsense. Yeah. And then, you know, I asked him another time. I documented everything. Tell your listeners, document. Mm. Don't go into a meeting without somebody writing notes. Don't leave the meeting without their notes. One of the times they gave me a PET scan, and I asked for the CDs. And so I got the CD, and of course, I popped it in my computer. I didn't know what I'm looking at. And I took it back to him over and over and over for the next 6 weeks. I said, would you please read this for me and tell me what it says? Because I don't get it. And he wouldn't do it. He just refused to look at it. Finally, 6 weeks later, he said, okay. And we marched into his little coat closet of an office, and we went back in there. He subbed it in the computer, and then he pointed to the wrong side of my body on the computer. And I said, well, doc, the tumor is over here. And he said, oh, right. And I said, in my humble little way, I said, I guess you depend heavily on oncology to read these things for you, don't you? He said, oh, yes. And so, you know, it's just a funny thing, but these people have a specialist mindset.
Right. And so much of the problem is the reduction of looking like, oh, you know, this is a cancer and we treat the disease and nutrition has nothing to do with this. Or so many of it's that reducing down, which is the model that Western science is built on. And again, yeah. it certainly has its uses and cases, but if you are looking for health, like true health is holistic. It can't be gotten to with a reductionist method.
And I love that when you're talking about the powerhouse brokers in this, the AMA with the FDA, and by the way, all of those have interlocking boards of directorates. So, you know, your listeners will know that if they're on the watchdog side, they have already been on the pharmaceutical side or are both at the same time. I'm telling you, they profit. It's all about the money. Do you know how much it cost me to go through the horrors of chemotherapy and all that? It was $400,000, brother. Yep. And then I was terminal. Mm-hmm. Then I went naturopathically with my nutritional biochemist friend, and literally it was 25,000.
Yeah.
So the monsters are this. The other parts of the puzzle, healthcare insurance is in this up to their eyeballs, mm-hmm. to keep you from going naturopathically. They refuse to pay for anything that's normal or that is herbal or that's functional. And I found that out the hard way. You know, yeah. I told you I was that number one guy in America selling cancer policies, and I had one of ours. And when the failure of oncology happened and I went naturopathically, my own company denied all benefits to me. Mm-hmm. And I was their ace salesman, no gas, no mileage, no hotels, nothing for me. And I kept saying, what's wrong? why won't you help me? I'm the spokesmodel for being healed of terminal cancer. Why won't you help me? And they said, basically, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right. Standard of care, and they can't go outside of that.
Oh, but they could. And the problem that I have is that I advocated getting lump sums to people instead of treatment-based programs. Mm-hmm. A lump sum would mean you get $50,000 or whatever you wanted to put together, $150,000. You get that money and you get to go wherever you want. That's what would make sense. But there's very few of those kinds of policies around. So I literally left and I did some research and I asked my senior vice president and everybody up the chain. I said, what am I leaving on the table if I leave here? And the one guy said $100,000 easy. Mm-hmm. And so I had to leave though, Logan, because integrity means something to me. Yeah. And so I couldn't sell another policy to another person, another teacher, that was going to, you know, pretend like we were saving families, but we were not saving families. We were giving them today's standard of care, which is awful.
Paying for their torture.
Well, you got it. And I had to stop.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, this is a good time. So how did you get into, well, I guess we should start. What are viatical settlements and how did you learn about this? Was this something that helped with your alternative,
quote unquote? No. And I will do this. I will use, you know, naturopathic. The word alternative is such a lie. The word conventional is such a lie. The word treatments is what they use. I wanted the word heal and the word cure. Those are four letter swear words. They don't want to say them.
That's a good point.
I know when I say, when I speak.
Illegal to say them, actually.
They don't want anybody to say them because they don't believe in them. They use, you see, those words are not possible. When I speak, they don't want me to say them about products that, excuse me, heal or cure. But I wanted the healing and the curing. I didn't want their treatments. I know their words. Treatments is just a euphemism for money. But I started digging around and realizing that I could not continue. I had to think, how can I help people get out of this? And I discovered viatical settlements. Viatical is a Latin word, which stems from the word via, which is the way. And viatical means provisions along the way. So literally the Roman soldiers on the old Roman roads used to bring their own viaticals on their backs so they didn't have to bother. They always had everything with them. And so what I do is I provide these viatical settlements. That means literally I go in and I buy people's life insurance policies that are still alive. Mm-hmm. If they're terminal, critical, or chronically ill, I can buy their life policies and give them anywhere from 45% to 99% of the face value of the policy today while they're still alive. Nobody knows this. Mm-hmm. See, life insurance companies are in the pink ribbon mirage. They call that life insurance. Over 90% of the policies in America are never cashed in. No one knows this. The biggest buildings in these cities are the life insurance buildings. Because no one, see, they can't find the heir, the beneficiaries, remarried, they've moved, nobody knows where they are. And so nobody's getting their monies out of these life policies. And I'll be frank with you, life insurance today is actually death insurance. Mm-hmm. It's just after you die, then you give your monies to your heirs. Okay, you give some kind of a policy to your heirs. That's not what it was all about originally. And so now, what I've done is I researched the fact that in 1911, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that all life insurance policies are chattel, fancy word for personal possession. If you bought it, you can sell it. It's like that lamp behind you. You mm-hmm. bought it, you can sell it if you can find a market. And so what I've got are ranks of investors behind me that literally will buy these policies of terminal, critical, or chronically ill people and give them an offer. And on that offer, people can either take it or leave it. If they like it, they'll take it. And I cannot tell you how many people I've done this for because I've turned their lives around or their families around because I've given them the funds. You know, everyone knows when you try to do naturopathic things, they will not pay for them at all, mm-hmm. which is absurd. The reality is this is all absurd. It's all upside down. So healthcare insurance joins life insurance, joins the FDA, the AMA, you know, the media today, 75% of their income comes from pharma. They're not going to tell you the truth that the cures for cancer are here.
Well, yeah, I heard it explained, the reason the insurance, they're going to pass on the costs to you in the form of premiums, or the company that's paying for your insurance, or the government that's paying for your insurance. So the higher the costs are for the treatments, the more money they're going to end up making, because they're able to make money off that money. So it is in their incentive for the cost to spiral out of control. So although they may not directly be influencing, of course, we could find associations in various ways. Just seeing that they are, you know, follow the money, like they're getting paid for the healthcare system to be as it is.
You got it. Interestingly enough, all of these people are in it together, and they don't want to fix it. They don't care about health care. They didn't care about me. You know, 75% of the oncologists won't take it or give it to their loved ones. I have an interesting story.
Yeah.
When I was a minister of music at a 7,000 member mega church in Dallas, one of my jobs was to go visit the sick and shut-ins. So I went to a lady's home, and she was living in a trailer by herself. Her husband had divorced her. Her daughter had disowned her. In the course of her lifetime, now this woman's mid-40s, as a baby, she had developed cancer on her cheek. And the routine then was to cut off her cheek. And then it moved to her nose, so they cut off her nose. And then it moved to her eye, so they cut off her eye. By the time I met her, she'd had 39 chemotherapy treatments, was wearing a prosthetic device and a wig on her head, open running sores, and there's nobody in her trailer. Except one guy was there. And I got to talk to him, and he's the man that brought her back from death. And his name, I'll just call him Ralph. Ralph became a personal friend of mine. And I said, "Now look at this lady." He said, "Yeah, she's, what kind of quality of life does she have? I brought her back to life, but what's the quality of life?" I said, "Oh my gosh, she's a lovely soul, just a sweet, beautiful lady, and just had been destroyed physically." But I got to talking to him, and he said, "You know, I got a story to tell you." And I said, "Okay." He said, "The director of oncology at MD Anderson, are you familiar with MD Anderson?"
I've heard of it, but not too much detail.
Monster cancer hospital in Houston. The head of oncology came to me one day with his wife. And he said, "Ralph, would you help my wife? She has cancer." And Ralph said, "Well, yes, of course, I will help your wife. But I have a question for you. When you have the entire arsenal of MD Anderson at your control, why are you bringing your wife to me?" And the answer stuck in my head all these years. He said, "Because you don't give chemotherapy to people you love."
Wow.
And, you know, when you look at the real unvarnished truth, not the evening news version. And by the way, if the people in the evening news are talking, if their mouths are open, they're lying. So you don't want to even watch it, but, you know, because they get all their income from pharma too. But literally, they'll never tell you that 2.3% is the success rate of chemo. Every once in a while, somebody lives a little longer. But let me tell you, if you're not stupid, bro. I don't know you very well, but I would suspect that if you had an auto mechanic with a 2.3% success rate, you would probably drive a little further down the street. Am I wrong?
I guess the problem is not knowing much about cars. I wouldn't be able to judge that. So we find ourselves in the same sort of position.
I'm telling you, yeah.
As most people, right?
You depend on the guy that's supposed to be the expert. So the man in the white coat with the stethoscope is supposed to be the expert.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're not, because they don't know the things that I know.
They don't know the things that you know.
And so what happens is they're judging based on the education they're given. Very narrow slice. And oh, by the way, I do want to confirm what you're saying about the trauma treatment and the ER treatment. That's what the hospitals were made for.
Yep.
Okay. I totally agree with you. Every once in a while, you need a surgery to stop an issue. Like I had to have the draining of this huge thing that was on my side. It was a huge, basically, it overrode my colon and everything couldn't function. Yeah. So I wasn't passing any food through. It was just painful to eat. But they did do a little bit of surgery, but I was so grateful they didn't take anything out. They didn't take any of my organs out. And I asked them, you know, a year later, I said, why didn't you take my spleen out? Because it was non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, stage 4 of the spleen. And they said, because basically it wouldn't have helped anything. It wouldn't have done anything. So I'm so grateful that that's how it happened. So I still have my spleen and I still have all my body parts, kind of, sort of. And what they did to them, we'll go into it in another meeting. But it's been an incredible journey. the viaticals. Now, what I do is with these, I help people get their funding. And I literally know multiple places now. I have over 350 clinics and clients, practitioners that I send people to all across the globe, a lot in the United States, but some out in Germany and Spain and, you know, Australia and even Mexico, because the clinics in Mexico don't have the idiotic rules that we have. Mm. You know, they can do the things that heal, excuse me, and cure. For instance, if you're familiar with B17, ever heard of the words apricot seeds? Yeah.
Yep.
Laetril. Mm-hmm. Okay. Amygdalin, which is the liquid version. Basically, they destroyed that entire product here in America. Dr. John Richardson Sr. was the man that was having tremendous efficacies using Laetril on pancreatic cancer and all other stage 4 cancers. And G. Edward Griffin wrote a book, World Without Cancer, and his wife is a nurse, wrote a book, Laetril Case Studies. And basically they showed that Dr. Richardson was having success after success after success. And just so you understand, B17 is a tightly bound molecule. This is the apricot seed. B17 is tightly bound around 4 parts, two parts glucose, 1 part benzaldehyde, and 1 part cyanide. Mm-hmm. Okay, now what happens is the cancer, the number one feeder of cancer, glucose. So that's the Trojan horse. The cancer loves it. It's helped by the benzaldehyde to bring it in, and the cyanide poisons the cancer when it's brought in. And this is all very interesting because every cell in your body has another enzyme called rhodanase. And rhodanase, with the exception of the cancer cells, is everywhere. So you slough off cyanide in every time you eat a slice of amaretto cheesecake or you eat a apple seed or anything like that. It goes right mm-hmm. through your body. But what happens is the cyanide selectively hits the cancer and kills the cancer. It cyanide poisons the cancer only. So what was picked up by the AMA and the FDA and their overlords was that Dr. Richardson was cyanide poisoning his patients. And so they destroyed his practice, destroyed his reputation, took his license away, and he died a young man, way too young, and having tremendous success. So his son, John Richardson Jr., and I worked together to provide those kinds of products for people, you know, as well. But it's interesting because there's products like what you're doing. You're so far advanced down the road of herbs, and it's so breathtakingly interesting to me to see the words lost empire. You asked me how I found these is just because I was desperate for help. So I looked for, you know, ways to finance. And now I've been finding all of these tools that you have, Logan, that are spectacular, that you can help different things that have been around for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. You know, the AMA has no control over them. They can't patent them. They can counterfeit them, but their counterfeit will have side effects. Mm-hmm. Which is what that doctor admitted in that meeting at the Gildas Club. She said out loud, every drug known to man has side effects. And so what they do is they put you on the medical merry-go-round. You get one drug and that causes a problem. Then they give you the next drug to take care of that one, which has its own set of problems. And then they give you the next drug to take care of that one. So I've got clients, I'm telling you, I have people all over the place that are on 7 to 50 meds.
Yep. Unfortunately, yeah. It's pretty common, right?
Yeah, it is. And it's not right.
Yeah.
Because people don't need them and they don't know what they're damaging is being done to their bodies, to their kidneys, to their livers, to all of their organs. And they can't tell. So they think they're fine and it isn't fine.
Mm-hmm. So let's cover a bit more of the details on the viatical settlements. So any type of life insurance, right? Term and whole. And I'm sure there's other ones I'm not even aware of.
Yeah. Well, there's term, there's whole, there's universal, there's FEGLI, which is federal government. There's group policies. I can buy any of them. Okay. So it doesn't matter at all. Okay. And what happens is the people will get the lump sum. The investors will continue making the payments. This is not a loan, Logan. Mm-hmm. This is a final settlement of that policy. So the people don't have any worries. They can send it. They can spend it on, you know, paying off the mortgage, which in America is a very big deal, very big stressor. Mm-hmm. You know, they can pay off their mortgage. They can give, you know, whatever they want, 20,000 to their children, 50,000, 100,000, whatever they want to do, and then take a medical vacation or get the products from you that will turn their lives around. And this is very critical because there's no way to pay for the products unless they have something like this. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get with you to let you know that the people who want to, you know, really think outside the box, I'm a red pill kind of guy. Every institution in America today is broken. Now, I'm not kidding. All of them are broken. Mm-hmm. The education, I'm a teacher. Education is broken. They're going to teach people how to have sex. But our grandparents and their grandparents and their grandparents, they all figured it out on their own. Don't need people teaching us this stuff. You know, and they won't teach them the Constitution. They won't teach them that this is a republic. And even the idiots, the talking heads in government, call it a democracy. It's not a democracy. They don't even know what kind of a government that we have. So I'm looking at this. When you get back into the viaticals, all I work for is I basically combine the investor with these people. They don't have, there's no obligation. There is no cost to them to investigate. So if they call me up.
Work for, does a person have to be terminally ill? Do they have to have a diagnosis? Like, could I have life insurance. Could I go to you and I probably wouldn't get much for it, right? Because I'm super healthy, but.
Well, you've got a point. Yeah. No, you've got a point. Those are called life settlements. Mm-hmm. So many is the time I do those as well. Yes, you are correct in your mind because the worse off you are, the more the policy is worth because the investors behind me mm-hmm. are wanting to understand they're going to get paid off sooner.
Right.
And so this is a real funky little thing.
Yeah, it's weird because they're rooting for you to die.
They are. And the AMA is. Right. So they work really well together, but they don't know what I know, Logan.
Yeah. I'm thinking, is this a way to kind of like break the kind of industry in a way? Like, how do you get in? So it's like, oh, they'll start paying attention if a whole bunch of people start doing this and are surviving when they should be dying, right?
Well, at some point, but you see what they do. The investors work with actuarial numbers.
Right.
And just so you get an idea what that means, your listeners, they'll take 1,000 men at your age, which is what, 25?
I'm 36.
Okay. They'll take 1,000 men at your age of 36 with your disease. Let's pretend it's prostate cancer and what state that you're in. And they will give you a policy price, an offer based on the 1,000 other men right. that have exactly what you have. And so they've seen it too many times. Yep. So they know how to bid them.
Right.
So that's their deal. It's not mine.
Yeah.
But it's their deal. So I kind of run a real fine line in all of these because to be honest with you, the life insurance companies really don't like me mm-hmm. because they know that the investors are going to collect on these policies.
Well, they'll eventually collect, right? They'll eventually collect.
But well, and they don't like. Yeah. Exactly. But they don't like to help. Because they're in this for the profit. Right. Then the hospitals don't like me because they don't want to provide the documentation. And you have to have the documentation to get that to the investors so they'll know exactly what they're working with. So I'm kind of in the middle. It's like a piece. I don't know if you've ever done a 500-piece jigsaw puzzle, mm-hmm. but that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm putting together all these complex little pieces so that they come together and I know how to help people. And the bottom line is that's what I'm here for. They do not have any out-of-pocket costs. The people don't. 90% of, when I speak at a 1,000 people conference, 5 people might know they could sell their policies.
I'd heard of it before, but didn't know much detail.
Nobody knows. Yeah. And so they think it's a quack salesman, same old thing. You know, they don't know that the life insurance companies don't want you to know this. Mm-hmm. They're not rooting for you. They don't tell you in advertisements, you can sell your life policy. Mm-hmm. No, they don't want you to know it. So the bottom line is there is no cost for people to look at this. It's just, they call me and they can just have a short little talk with me and I can show them how this actually works because it's very well governed.
Yeah.
You know, there's no quackery in this at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking this would be good for, you know, not many people listening to this are going to be using this right away, right? Maybe there's one or two, but it's a good thing to have tucked away in the back part of your brain for when it becomes necessary. And also I was thinking for like the younger crowd that may not even have life insurance that, you know, good time to get that so that should something like this arise that, you know, you can have it in addition to the other benefits it brings, that this can be one possibility in there.
Sure. I have no question. The people that are tuned into your mindset are probably much more healthy in the main, but there are many that come to you that are like me that have had so much devastation and they need help and they don't know how to turn because all the media stations, all the channels, all the ways they can get information. You go on the internet. Let me tell you something. You go on the internet. This is where we live today. It's an internet world. When I was a little boy, I would go to the library and I knew kind of where the sections was of the book that I wanted. So I go to that section and kneel down on the floor and just look at the bunch of books in a row. And you could find other books with interesting titles. In America, online, you have to go in and you actually have to spell what you're looking for correctly. If you don't spell what you're looking for, you won't get the answer that you need. And you certainly are not going to get a book on either side. And what happens is when you go in and you put in a word like viatical settlements, every time I talk about one thing that actually works, like the B17, there's going to be 50 to 150 voices that are going to say the exact opposite.
Right.
So you're exactly right. When young people today, if they could get a policy, it would be really good for them to get a life policy. There's something called, spousal riders. There are some other things that they might want to consider, like ADBs, which is accelerated death benefits. There's all kinds of ways to play the game if you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And so the best thing to do is, maybe to have a policy so that you can use it as life insurance, insuring your life, not insuring your death. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I have a policy. I forget the specific term, but it's overfunded. So it has more of a cash balance, which I can take loans out to use now while I'm living. And that has benefited me greatly because I have made use of that. And that's just great to have. So yeah, there's all these fun facts about life insurance that no one knows.
And in fact, I'll tell you what most of America does when they get into a cancer diagnosis or something, they've got maybe two or three policies. They'll go into the kitchen drawer and look at them and stop paying the premiums on two or three of these policies because they say, I can't afford it. Duh.
It's the worst mistake.
You don't know that you have value in those policies. And the insurance company will cut you off just as fast as looking at you because they're not going to tell you, if you miss one premium, we'll keep you on for a few months. Don't pay it for 6 months and we'll keep you on. No, if you miss one, they cut you off. So people think that I just can't pay it anymore. They don't realize that they've got money in the kitchen drawer that they could use potentially. So I ask everybody just to call me and let me hear about what the policy is that you have. And we'll talk it through and I'll talk with my investors and all this kind of stuff so I can determine whether or not you have value. And don't stop making the payments until you know that there is no value in it. And I can determine that really quickly.
And when someone takes it over, they're taking over paying the premiums as well as them being the beneficiaries of it, right? So your policy is completely out of your hands at that point.
That's right. And I do want to reiterate one thing, and that is this is not a loan.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to get confused. This is a done deal. It's a settlement. You're settled out. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's no question. You're not having to go back and revisit this ever. And I really like that too, because, you know, it's to me, I wanted to be healed. I didn't want to revisit. I didn't want to go back and hear more and take more and get all that. No. I want it to be done. So I had to find the tracks in my life that once you've learned it, then you move on to something else and you don't keep coming back. So this is why I love viatical settlements and life settlements that we do, because it's a done deal.
And you said as far as the cash value, you'd get between 45 and 90%, was it?
It's actually, I've believe it or not, I'm going to say that. I'll just leave it 45 to 90, 95.
Yeah.
But it really, to be frank with you, I actually had one example recently where there was no policy for the wife. She had very bad cancer. And we literally discovered in the small print how to get her something called a spousal rider. Mm-hmm. And we fabricated a policy with her for her out of thin air, and we got her $400,000+.
Wow.
And it was just because my people know how to play with these policies.
Yeah.
And so that alone allowed the family to get all, you know, things like hyperbaric chambers and, you know, all kinds of electronic equipment, and of course do everything. I have another contact that actually flew out there. He's a doctor. He flew out and stayed with them for months and nursed her back to health. And so she's alive and, you know, happily living, you know, in Texas now, but that when they moved to California, from California to Texas. So it's just the fact of the matter is you got to have somebody that knows what they're doing. But mm-hmm. I've been around this now for about 6 years. And I'll tell you, St. Patty's Day, just a couple of days ago, that was my 6th anniversary. Yeah. So I'm so glad I'm alive to help people. And that's what I do every day, is try to talk to people about their families, you know, needs and how I can help them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I hope everyone takes this to heart. And like I said, just logging away in the backside of your brain for when it's necessary. Hopefully that day doesn't come. But if it does, then you'll know this. And of course, you can spread this message out to people, point people to this interview here. How can people follow up with you if they're interested in learning more?
Absolutely. My website is simple. They're rebuilding it right now, but it's marcusellis.org. And that's MarcusEllis.org. And that website has got my story, my short little video of my 17 minutes terminal cancer journey. And it's me in a tuxedo. And I was at the Truth
Without
About
the beard.
Cancer. Yeah, no beard. Right. I had no hair, just a little bit growing back. But and then there's also a discussion of the viatical settlements that I wrote. I'm a featured article writer for The Truth About Cancer. And so that article is on there about viatical settlements. And you'll find that easy. And then my phone numbers are easy. I'll just give you 931-722-4949. And then also my website is coming up right now, and it's going to be a new one. It's me at marcusellis.org. So they can write me there. And any kind of comments that they want to make or any kind of help that I give, I talk to people all day long, referrals.
Yep.
A doc's got a girl that has a problem. She's got breast cancer. He told her to call me. She's called me, and then I'm working with her today. This is just something that happens every day. And, you know, the doctors know I'm on many websites now because they put financial resource tab on the top of their website, Logan, so that when people are looking at them, you know, any red-blooded American man that I know of that's going facing cancer, they look at a site like yours and like all these, you know, functional medicines and naturopathic people, and they say, how the HE double hockey sticks am I going to pay for that? Mm-hmm. I can't pay for it. My cancer policy or my policy won't pay for it. So they immediately flip off. Like I said, the kid in the library, you know, looking for books, they don't stay long enough because they don't think they have an answer on that page. But it's stupid. If they hung around and you had a financial resources tab on your page, literally people could just click on that and say, oh, here's a way. And over half of America, well over half, has life insurance policies. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's very common.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, I love saving lives. You know, I look at people that are your age and people that have little people at home, you know, moms, dads, it's not their time to die. And they got little people at home. We know this is not the creator telling you, you're going to die now. It's time for you to die. No, maybe the AMA says that, but no, mm-hmm. It's not your time to die. I can already tell you that. In fact, this is going to be very hard for you to understand. Well, you'll get it. I don't believe anybody needs to die from cancer because it's reversible. Mm-hmm. They just will not do it in these humongous 11-story hospital buildings that have no answers. I asked the question, how did I get this? Do you know what the response was, Logan?
Nope.
The luck of the draw.
Well, they're not really interested in causes either. That's a whole other big thing.
No, and I love your comment because causes are all I was interested in. My mom had a recent aortic dissection. I asked the director of thoracic surgery at the local hospital. I said, hey, what caused this? No idea. How do we repair the endothelial lining? No idea. They gave her 2 blood pressure meds and sent her home with massive side effects.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, this is what we're getting. So I love the beautiful work that you're doing. And I want you to know, I highly value it. And I'm not kidding. It's because you've gone back through the archives of history and you've learned that some of these things really are powerful. And that's, people need this. They need what you're doing so desperately, and I'll provide them finances if they want.
Oh, likewise. I'm so, I guess, happy that you went through all that hell to arrive on this other side and be helping people really navigate it much better than what you had to go through. It's
Amen.
Powerful.
I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, Logan. It's really very bad. When you realize how sick you are, mm-hmm. and you know, I was hooked on morphine. I literally could not handle a night. I couldn't go to sleep. It was, the pain was so bad.
Yeah.
So I just know that this is not fun. It's not easy. And by the way, when people get into cancer, their minds are not really working very well. So it really knows, I can say cancer is a team sport. It takes people around you to help you think, even if you're really a lone wolf kind of a guy. Yeah. You got to have nurses.
Yeah.
You got to have a team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have your health advisory council beforehand, right? So you have some people to call, like Marcus, perhaps, when a diagnosis like that, and please get a second opinion on a diagnosis.
Yeah, absolutely. Now today, I will tell everyone, whatever they say in the hospitals, you need to definitely get a naturopathic or a functional medicine second opinion.
Yeah.
Because those are going to give you non-toxic, non-invasive alternatives. And that's a lie. It's not an alternative. We've been around for thousands of years. Right. That's who they are. But it will give you another voice. And I told you before, if you're listening to a voice that says fear, you're going to die on blah, blah day, get the HE double hockey sticks away from that voice, because they're lying to you. And I'm not kidding. They've seen it so many times that they're used to that, but they're not seeing the cures. Mm-hmm. And if 76% of them won't take chemo or give it to their loved ones, you got a problem.
Okay? That's called a hint.
Please. So I'm very, very glad that I got to know you. And I did research on my own, just trying to find the things that will really turn lives around. And I love the herbal thoughts. So keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, Marcus. And everyone, once again, check out marcusellis.org for more information. Thanks for listening.